Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, sir. Happy Victory Monday. Must feel like a bizarro world right now for Texans fans because Reggie's not here. I'm Luke Morrow filling in. That's number one. Number two, the Texans offense scored 44 points yesterday. And number three, they actually won in Baltimore, beating the Ravens by 34. What type of universe have we woken up into this morning? The OG John Lopez, of course, along with us for the ride here today, as always. John, that was quite a game yesterday, quite a weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I got nothing bad to say. I got nothing that you can even nitpick. That's how dominant it was. Thorough, complete, start to finish, every element of the game, an absolute beatdown. Here's the thing. Does that completely change the narrative? I know there's going to be some nitpicking out there. We're not here for that right now because that was, you mentioned it, 0-8. In Baltimore.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just a complete reversal. And everybody's talking about last year's Christmas game. We're not, you know, we don't care about that. They did. We did. Everybody did. It was just a complete beatdown. It was enough. Well, I mean, this is my opinion. Curious what you guys think. 713-572-4610. Of course, on Twitch and YouTube. Brought to you by who? The McCarum Law Firm?
Yeah, where they... Keep
yeah,
it 100.
Man, they keep it 100. Was it enough for you to believe in the squad again? Like nothing happened? Like the first 3 weeks didn't happen?
I think so. No. I'm trying to be careful. I would say yes. I would say yes because what concerns me is just obviously the opponents.
Yeah,
they face two of the bottom five defenses. The two teams are a combined 2-8. What happens when they face one of the top teams in the league? They still have to face the other top five defenses the rest of the way outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But with that said, then I look at the NFL, and I don't really know who is that great team this year.
Right.
And the Texans do have the second-best point differential in the AFC right now, and they have the number one defense, and the offense seems to be clicking even against bad teams at least. I mean, it looked so good yesterday. They were able to protect Stroud. He got rid of the ball quickly. No turnover-worthy plays.
Mm-hmm.
Very few incompletions. Nick Haley, I thought, called a great game, just was in rhythm and had some unique elements, and everyone got involved. So all that's to say, yeah, I'm buying in. I might be proven a fool when they step up in competition. But we knew the offense was going to get better as the year went on, and the defense is really good, and just what you saw with that beatdown yesterday, I don't know how you can't be positive about this team.
Well,
Piggy,
I'm curious on yours, and of course, everybody listening, appreciate that, 713-572-4610, because, and this isn't to pat myself on the back, because a lot of people were saying this, it wasn't just me, but it's something that we talked about in training camp, much less preseason. It's going to take 5 or 6 weeks. It's going to take 4, 5, 6 weeks for us to get a real good gauge on what this team is, specifically the offense. You know, if it starts to click, if they start to get a hang of it, if C.J. Stroud starts to really, you know, feel it, get comfortable in the offense. Well, that was week five, and they're going into a bye week. Is it like the first three weeks happened? We know that. But is it as if moving forward, the first 3 weeks you can almost gloss past? I don't know.
Yeah, I think, to me, I feel way more confident now, man. Like you said, John, I knew this offense was going to take a little bit of time. I think the thing that had me worried was looking around the AFC South, mm-hmm. looking at the Jags being 3-1, and the Colts.
Oh, we'll get to that.
3-1. Yeah. That was the part that was worrying me, and just starting off 0-3.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, look, you can say what you want about the last two defenses they played and how bad these teams are, but sometimes you got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You got to start somewhere. So it looked like CJ is in the groove now. So it would be hard for me to believe them going up to Seattle and looking like they did in week 1 and 2. So I think the offense is going to look a little better. I'm not saying they're going to win, but I think the offense they getting in the groove now.
Yeah, I agree, because we've seen that the last 2 weeks. And like we both just said, we expected the offense to get better and more comfortable as the year went on. And by the way, they do deserve credit. You can't completely write off the last 2 weeks by just simply saying, oh, they played bad teams, because they did what they were supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And then probably, and then some. I don't know how many people predicted, knowing the Ravens' injuries and knowing the situation the Ravens are in, I don't know if I saw anybody predict that the Texans are going to go in there and win 44-10 and not punt till the fourth quarter and, you know, just completely dominate. You might have felt comfortable that the Texans were going to win, but did you feel comfortable they were going to do all of that, especially on offense? So we can't completely write off the success just because, the Ravens are a mess, which they are. You have to still credit the Texans for taking care of business, beating two bad teams the last 2 weeks, and while the Titans was ugly for the first three quarters, you know, they pulled away in the fourth. That carried over to Sunday. But they got two blowout wins against bad teams, and that's what you're supposed to do. So, you know, they still deserve credit for the way that they played the last 2 weeks, even in spite of the lack of competition.
And look at the league. Look at the league. The Bills lost.
Yeah.
The Chargers got worked pretty good. The Titans won. Now, we're going to get into some of the particulars of that. But still, the Titans won. I mean, the way the league is, and I'm not trying to be that guy, you know, like, oh, and any given Sunday and all that, but to do what you're supposed to do, in back-to-back weeks, coming off of an 0-3 start, that's what has me, you know, thinking that this team may have figured something out. And that one moment in the fourth quarter of the Titans game, 2nd and 33, complete to Nico Collins and for 37 yards, from that one moment, C.J. Stroud is 32 for 38 for 377 yards, 6 touchdowns, no picks. They've scored 64 points in 5 quarters. That, to me, is the story. You know, the C.J. Stroud sort of mastering things here.
And that's why I thought, and I know I wasn't alone on these airwaves with this thought, but during the summer, during training camp, I was saying, you know, I wish the offense had some easier days than going up against the defense. And I think when you saw they finally had those easier days last Sunday and yesterday, as you mentioned, it was that big conversion against the Titans that seemed to have gotten them going. And I compared it at the time to almost a jump shooter in basketball where you just need to see that first one go through the net. And for the Texans, maybe it was just simply that big conversion, you know, on the big completion of Collins and feeling like, okay, you know what, we can actually do this. We can be explosive. We can convert. We can find this rhythm. And now they're off and rolling, and hopefully it continues through the bye week. But when you see them go up against two of the worst defenses in the league the last 2 weeks, they have seemed to certainly find their rhythm and confidence, most importantly. And that's what I was hoping for in the offseason, instead of getting beat down every week by that defense, and then to start the regular season with some good defenses and to struggle, and you're feeling like, oh boy, we're never going to figure this out. This was like a perfect opportunity against back-to-back bad teams, bad defenses, early in the season where you're still working through some things to kick this offense into high gear now. Hopefully it continues through the bye, but this is what they needed to feel good and figure some things out offensively, and boy, did they look good yesterday.
And you said figure some things out. The first drive was really the biggest indicator, and this is something that I made note of as I'm watching the game. I can't remember the last time. So they take the ball, go right down the field, score a touchdown. 7 different skill position players touched the ball on that drive. 7 different ways. It wasn't just, hey, get the ball to Nico. Hey, we're going to run the ball. You know, see what happens on third down. It was Nico Collins. It was Nick Chubb, British Brooks, Higgins, Woody Marks, Dalton Schultz, Xavier Hutchinson. When you have an offense that has 7 different guys touching the ball, that's an offense that's clicking. And, of course, this is what D'Amico Ryan said afterward regarding C.J. Stroud and kind of mastering that defense.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Saw from CJ today was his demeanor. He was very calm. He's very under control the entire game, right? Didn't get flustered. They got back there on a couple plays. He didn't allow that to fluster him. He continued to press forward, continued to make plays, make great decisions with the football. So I'm just proud of him having the resolve to just continue to push through. Yeah, he had a nice rush there to get us in the red zone. He just made smart plays with the football all day.
Yeah, I saw someone on the text line say, rookie Stroud is back. And I know people have been saying that on social media, too. He's looked great the last five quarters, at least. And the big numbers for me from yesterday were that it was that he was pressured only six times yesterday. So props to that offensive line. And again, these two defenses, not only are they not great defenses, they also don't get after the quarterback very much.
Yeah.
So that's why I still add a few grains of salt to this offensive line and this offensive performance from the last 2 weeks. But he got rid of the ball 2.4 seconds, which was his fastest so far this year. And then, as I alluded to earlier, zero turnover-worthy plays the last two games, you know, which is a grade where sometimes you throw a ball that should be picked. It hits off the – Stroud hasn't even put the ball in a bad place in the last 2 weeks and only has those six incompletions the last five quarters. He is playing really well. And to your point before that soundbite, Nick Caley was, as the kids would say, you know, he was in his bag yesterday by getting everyone involved, which makes an offense so dynamic and so tough. And it was some guys yesterday that you were not expecting to see make the big plays. And they were able to do so. So it's a real credit to Nick Caley, Stroud, and especially, you know, the offensive line, because that's where it all begins.
Yeah, and Nick, you know, obviously C.J. Stroud to me is the one that sort of changed everything, and we can feel so much better going into the bye week and beyond. But let's give credit to Nick Caley. That guy was getting dragged through the mud, including on this show and every show, in terms of what they were doing. The offensive line, Cole Popovich, and these five guys. Six guys, however you want to play it, moving forward, the ability to go and not just look like a team that was sort of plotting, because that's what they look like first. Like let's run, let's see what happens, and then you're going backwards, and then the penalties were just about non-existent.
Yep.
The protection was there, albeit against, you know, a team that didn't pass a lot, and I get it, you know, they didn't have their Pro Bowl and all pro players on the defense, but nevertheless, like I said, look around the league. But Nick Caley being able, like I said, that did it for me. The first drive, I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. Because, you know, seven different guys getting the ball on the first one. So you got to give Nick Caley a lot of credit. In fact, this was D'Amico Ryans talking about Nick Caley, Ryan 7, and the offensive performance. This was a complete turnaround.
Caley's done a great job. And it didn't show the first weeks. And because we didn't execute well. Like, we came out today and guys executed. We run our offense the right way. We run our defense, our special teams. You know, when we do it the right way, it's what we're capable of doing. We just have to stay the course, everybody, and continue to get better. That's coaches, that's players, everybody. And we're all in this together. We're all growing. We're all getting better as the season continues to go along.
Yeah, I think everyone gets better, obviously, the more you do things. And the problem in the NFL is it's a reactionary league week to week. You come in Monday with these big takeaways from the weekend that was, and it is a short enough season with just 17 games where every game is so important, so we do expect success right away. But, you know, like you saw the Rams last year, and I know they mentioned them in yesterday's broadcast, the Rams started 1-4 and then figured some things out as the year went on, and they had some injuries they were dealing with offensively, and even Stafford, and, you know, they made some changes and ended up making the playoffs. So my point being, sometimes we do need to give these guys patience, especially when you have a first-time play caller. And Nick Caley was obviously figuring things out as he went, and now maybe he's gotten to the point where he's figured some of those things out, or he's found that rhythm and he's gotten comfortable. Because I thought yesterday, it's easy to point to the success, all the completions, the touchdowns, the points. But I thought even just and not only getting the players involved, but a lot of the creativity mm-hmm. as well. Like he was just scheming guys open. It wasn't that plotting offense that you said. It wasn't bland and just run, dump off pass or whatever. I thought he had some real creativity that we hadn't really seen to this point yet. And I also think playing with a lead for the last 2 weeks also helps, where it's easier to be in control of the game or run your offense when you are playing with that lead instead of trying to play catch up where it shortens the playbook.
But, and we haven't even mentioned the defense.
No, I know.
And that's the thing. Like if you want to say, okay, yeah, but competition. Yeah, but you know, we'll see how this offensive line does moving forward, et cetera. If you don't have to get 44 points with this defense.
No.
You don't have to get 24 points or thereabouts with this defense. The other thing that really sort of raised my eyebrows and you start thinking, you know, some crazy thoughts like, well, what if this, what if that? The turnovers started coming.
Yep.
The turnovers have been coming for the last five quarters as well, six quarters, whatever it is. And for this defense to play the way it did, doesn't matter, you know, the environment. We were singing the praises of Cooper Rush getting the ball out quickly, of Derrick Henry, you know, and his big, you know, games against the Texans. Derrick Henry was an absolute non-factor, like mm-hmm. zero. I think his longest run was 7 yards, thereabouts. He had at one point 6 yards on five carries. And the defense, with what they were doing, if you just get a little bit of this offense, you can start thinking some crazy thoughts.
Yeah, this defense, to your point, I mean, they hadn't been getting the turnovers. They had three yesterday. They had three the entire season entering yesterday, so that was big. They've also led the league entering this week in missed tackles, which mm-hmm. is, you know, you look at the numbers, and it's like, man, this doesn't really jive. But they're averaging to allow, I think it's 12 points per game right now this season, and that would be the lowest for an entire season, which is a hard bar to continue to reach. But if they were to keep this up, if you were to extrapolate this over the course of an entire season, that would be the lowest or the fewest points allowed since that Ravens defense in 2000. So that's how good this defense is playing right now, where they're holding opponents down to the fewest amount of points scored of any team in 25 years. I know it's only been a third of the season, mm-hmm. but still, yeah, that's how good this defense has been, where, to your point, I mean, if you score, there's always these stats like trying to think of the quarterback. I think it's Justin Fields has like never won a game when his defense allows more yes. than 21 points, mm-hmm. you know, something like that. For this Texans, if you just scored 21 points a game, you're not asking too much. You can win a lot of ball games, and they'd probably be undefeated right now. So you're not asking for much from this offense, and you got plenty of it yesterday.
You got plenty of it. The receivers, the rookies stepped up, which I think is going to be you know, a big story, especially going into the bye week. Etc. Jalen Noel got his first touch. Xavier Hutchinson, who's not a rookie, but you know, obviously a young player, got his first two touchdowns. Jaden Higgins, Christian Kirk made an appearance with some significant plays as well. All in all, you can squint your eyes and look at like, okay, the competition, or okay, this or that. It's hard right now to think that this team is not on a big upswing.
Yeah, and as I always use the line from Dennis Green where he said, they are who we thought. No, I'm kidding, not that one. Dennis Green always used to say, how you feel about your record depends on when the wins come or when the losses come.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the Texans, you begin 0-3, and we're all doom and gloom, of course, because you're 0-3, but now you win back-to-back games. So even though you have that losing record at 2-3, you wake up today feeling really good about this team because back-to-back wins and what we've seen from the offense and the growth on that side of the football. And then most importantly, when you zoom out, as we've already mentioned, you look at the rest of the league, specifically the AFC, and there's nobody that really scares you right now
right.
or is running away. So even though you're 2-3, you're, I would say, right where you still need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You're right in the thick of things there in the AFC and still, you know, right behind the Colts this early in the season with the games coming up against them. On the text line, 281 said, most satisfying win in Texans history. That kind of ties into...
Oh, we might get into that.
Yeah, but we'll get into it later. It did have the feeling, though, of like when you watch these horror films, as I am prone to do, and the main character is getting tormented by somebody throughout the whole movie, and then they finally, at the end of the movie, win the battle, and they're able to... and they just keep... Even after the killer's been killed by the main character, and they still just continue to like bash their head in because they're just taking out all of their frustration. That was the Texans yesterday, especially from Christmas Day last year. Like, they finally got a chance to step on the Ravens, and they just kept, even after they had no pulse, they just kept bashing their heads in yesterday. And admittedly, it was great to see.
And then maybe a little insult to injury there at the end. We'll get into that as well during confessions.
But coming up, it was not all good yesterday in the NFL for the Texans. They got a great win, but the rest of the division did pretty well as well. We'll go around the AFC South next. It's In the Loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.